Well, good morning. It's Father Eli here at St. Joseph and Our Lady of Fatima. Hope you're doing well today. Today is Wednesday, April 22nd. And today I want to talk a little bit about Marian apparitions. So you're probably aware of some of these. There are lots and lots of them. Some of them have official recognition by the church. Others do not. And it's important to understand how we approach apparitions or any kind of visionary thing. So Mary very often appears to someone who's not very powerful or maybe doesn't have a lot of authority, that sort of thing. A lot of times they're children or people who are simple peasants or whatever, or just don't have a lot of pull. And why is that? Well, I guess I would guess that probably it's because Mary and God, they don't want these apparitions to be used for some kind of power or some kind of political gain or something like that. So if, for instance, Mary appeared to a president or even a priest or a bishop or somebody like that who is trying to get some kind of worldly gain, could very easily become a problem. You know, oh, pay this money and I will tell you more about it, or here's an indulgence or something like that. Something could very easily go astray. So very often what Mary does is she appears to somebody simple and then invites them to go and speak to the local authority. Now, for a Marian apparition to be recognized, it has to be recognized by the local church first. So that's usually the local bishop. And so there are things that they look at and things like that. But it's important also to recognize that private revelation is something different than the deposit of faith. So the deposit of faith is all the things that were revealed to the church by Jesus and sacred scripture. And so the deposit of faith is full. We have everything we need after the death of the last apostle, which is believed to be John the apostle, the beloved disciple. So, and he died probably around the year 100 or so. So since then, there's been nothing new, no new revelation that is necessary for salvation. So there's been, of course, a deepening of what we have and a greater understanding of what we have, and we continue to mine the depths of scripture and sacred tradition and to try to apply it in our current circumstances. But if somebody comes forward and says, I have a revelation and it's different, it says something different than what the deposit of faith says, that's a straight-up reason not to believe it. It's a straight-up reason to say, nope, this is not a true apparition. Or if it was an apparition, it doesn't come from God. So this will happen sometimes. People will come forward and say, oh, I have a new revelation, and you know, God told me that we no longer should do this, or we should no longer believe this, or we should get rid of the Eucharist, or we should get rid of the priesthood, or whatever. Anything like that that contradicts the deposit of faith is, of course, not to be believed. So private revelation, why does that happen? Why does God reveal himself, or does the Blessed Virgin Mary appear and speak to different people for particular reasons? Well, it kind of depends. Sometimes there are private revelations that are just meant for that person. So it really is just a private revelation. Sometimes there is a message that is given to the church through a private individual. Sometimes Mary does want them to speak this to the rest of the world. That does happen. So let's look at some of them, and maybe that'll help us to have a better understanding. So public revelation is what we call the deposit of faith. That comes to us from the apostles, from Jesus himself, and the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us this. Throughout the ages, there have been so-called private revelations, some of which have been recognized by the authority of the Church. They do not belong, however, to the deposit of faith. It is not their role to improve or complete Christ's definitive revelation, but to help live more fully by it in a certain period of history. Guided by the magisterium of the church, which is the teaching body of the church, the census fidelum, which is kind of the sense of the faithful, the census fidelum knows how to discern and welcome in these revelations whatever constitutes an authentic call of Christ or his saints to the church. So Christian faith cannot accept revelations that claim to surpass or correct the revelation of Christ and his church. So when Our Lady appears, sometimes she appears multiple times, sometimes just once, and sometimes there's a message, sometimes it's just for that person. So she often asks the visionary to collaborate with the bishop, the local bishop, to do whatever task that she wants to be done. She almost always will encourage them to work with the authority, the local authority. And that's often one of the criteria that the Vatican will use to say this is okay to have a devotion to this particular vision or this particular devotion to Our Lady. They'll look at things like that. Did this person collaborate? Were they submissive to authority, or were they always contradicting and trying to teach things that the church does not believe and never has believed? So those kinds of things are things that they look at. Let's look at a few particular ones and try to pull out some things there. So there are a number that have been approved by the church and have taken on liturgical celebration in the calendar year. So these would be like ones like Our Lady of Guadalupe, Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal, Our Lady of La Salte, I don't even know that one, Our Lady of Lourdes, Our Lady of Knock, Our Lady of Fatima. So those are ones that have a bearing on the liturgical calendar. So let's look at a few of those. Our Lady of Guadalupe, she appeared in 1531, and it was approved in 1555. She appeared to Juan Diego and asked him to build a church. And really, this was very instrumental in bringing about the conversion of many, many people in Mexico and the surrounding area. So millions of people came to the faith because of Our Lady of Guadalupe. So I think Our Lady just wanted to reach out to that whole nation and really encourage people to come and know her son. Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal, this happened in 1830 in France. She appeared to St. Catherine Labouré and encouraged her to come to know her son, to help people know them, and part of that was they created this Miraculous Medal. So she had a vision of being with Mary, and she actually was with Mary, and it was very powerful, vivid experience for her. Our Lady of La Salte, let's look at that one. This is one I had never heard of before, so you might find it interesting. Maybe you've heard of it. I'm not sure if I'm saying it right, but it's Our Lady of La, and then S-A-L-E-T-T-E. So unlike other popular apparitions, the Blessed Virgin Mary under this title appeared only one time in 1846. Our Lady appeared to two small children tending sheep in the French Alps. They came across a woman sitting with her elbows on her knees and her face buried in her hands, crying. She talked of the conversion of sinners and of her son's displeasure with the many sins and offenses that were being committed against him. She entrusted two messages to the children, which can be read here, calling for Christians to respect the holy name of Jesus and to keep the Sabbath day holy by refraining from work. So this apparition was approved, and is still celebrated today. And then here's another one. This one happened in Belgium. Our Lady of another word I can't say, Breuning, B-E-A-U-R-A-I-N-G, Boring, maybe, I don't know, Belgium. She appears and speaks to five children 33 different times from November 1932 to January 1933. She appeared dressed in white, asking the children to pray for the conversion of sinners, and also asked for the building of a chapel, desiring that people go on pilgrimage. She had identified herself as the Immaculate Virgin Mary, and on the day of her last appearance to the children, she revealed to them a golden heart, which is why she's also called Our Lady of the Golden Heart. Veneration under this title was approved by Pope Pius XII in 1949. The feast is still celebrated each year on August 22nd. So I had never heard of that one either. So those are two interesting ones. That one seems very similar to me to Fatima. Fatima is probably one of the most well-known in Europe. Our Lady of Knock, maybe you've heard of this one. This one is an interesting one too. So there was no message particular. It was just an event, a vision that a number of people saw. So this is in Ireland. In 1879, the village in Knock, 15 people of various ages saw an altar with a cross above it. Upon that altar was the Paschal Lamb, and next to the altar was St. Joseph, St. John the Apostle, and the Blessed Virgin Mary. None of the figures spoke a word, and the eyewitnesses stayed on the spot praying the rosary for 2 hours. One of the other miraculous events that took place concerned the weather. During these 2 hours, it was raining. However, the ground around the apparition site remained dry throughout. St. John Paul II visited the shrine of the apparition on the 100th anniversary. The Feast of Our Lady of Knock is celebrated on August 21st. So, interesting. And then, of course, Our Lady of Fatima, which probably you're aware of. That one happened in Portugal. That was the three children who saw first St. Michael, the Archangel, and then later Our Lady appeared to them a number of times, asking them to pray and so forth. So lots of messages, and usually it's Our Lady asking, encouraging devotion, prayer, penance, you know, just really asking people to pray the rosary, asking them to live holy life. So these private revelations are really there to inspire us, to help us to know how to follow God, and that it is important. Sometimes our faith kind of wanes, or we're less inclined to really sacrifice or really give our full selves or really commit to following God. And so sometimes going to an apparition site can help us. When we see how Our Lady appeared to somebody else, it might help us understand our call and how we are called to follow Christ. So there's lots and lots and lots of apparitions, hundreds and hundreds of them. Not all of them are approved. Not all of them will ever be approved, probably. Usually the church does not try to really address an apparition until it's complete, until it's no longer happening. So, for instance, the one, the one that's happening in Albania still, Bosnia Herzegovina. I can't think of it, but it's still going on. So until it's finished, they can't really make a judgment on it. So there's lots of things to understand when it comes to apparitions. There are really two kinds. So we talked about a little bit about this. There's the universal revelation, which is contained in the scriptures, an apostolic tradition transmitted by the church. And then there are particular or private revelations, which are happening all the time. And the church always is trying to encourage devotion to Our Lady, to the Lord. And sometimes apparitions are a means to help that. But it's important to also recognize that we're never obligated to believe in any apparitions, because they're not in the deposit of faith. They are not required. We don't have to believe in them. We're invited to look at them, and the church will often say there's nothing in this that is contrary to the faith, so therefore veneration can be given. but we're not obligated to believe in any apparition. They are there strictly to help us and in whatever way they can to grow in our devotion, to be more attentive to what our Lord calls us to. It's not something that we are required to believe. Those are the things that are in the deposit of the faith. So what we know from Scripture, what we know from the apostles, and what has been handed down by the church. That is the deposit of the faith. That is what we are required to believe. These other things are there to help us, encourage us, but we are not required to know them or to venerate them. An example or a sort of analogy might be you can eat all the things that you should to stay healthy, fruit and vegetables, dairy, some meat, different things, the food groups, yes, those are all good. But you might take some vitamins to help you. They're not per se like a natural food, but they're there for us. And you might consider, if you thought about it, you might think of the deposit of faith as the normal food that we eat, and Marian apparitions or other devotions as a sort of vitamin that supplement us or help us or give us strength in areas where maybe we are lacking or need a little extra help. So a lot more could be said about Marian apparitions, but I hope this is a quick little introduction to understand more about them, and I hope you have a devotion to Our Lady. It's very important. If you don't have a devotion to a particular apparition, that's fine, but come to know Our Lady, because she always leads her people, her children, to her Son. So let's ask Mother Mary to pray for us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.